I like cycling, I like travelling, adventure. More than that, I like pushing myself out of my comfort zone. And the Transcontinental does all those things, definitely.
And I've never been so deep into myself. I'm very rational usually, so deep emotions, deep thoughts, deep spirits, deep willpower.
I've now spent 1% of my life riding the CCR, which equals 12 minutes of every day of my life, so yeah.
Welcome to the Lost Stop Podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design. In this final episode of our TCR number 12 coverage, we're combining days 19 and 20 of the race. For all riders left on the road, it's a straight dash to Kalamata via the Finnish parkour to try and arrive before the last cutoff point and within general classification. Let's start on day 19 with the finishers party at Skipper's, just a little more than a day away. Both control teams are at the finish line to welcome riders, including race reporter Sophie Potter. Back in Norway, she spoke to Floris Becker, Cap 344, about his Pringle eating technique. Now he's made it all the way to Greece.
Congratulations, you made it to Kalamata.
Thank you so much.
How many Pringles did you have?
Well, as the temperature started rising, I started eating less and less Pringles, actually. So,
yeah. Not that
many. As we said on Instagram, they should make Pringle ice cream. Yeah. Then I would still be eating Pringles today. Yeah.
Are you proud of yourself?
Yeah, I'm very happy. Yeah, I think after Norway and Sweden, I needed a day to set my compass again. So I think I raced too hard in Norway and Sweden and busy too much outside in the cold. So when I reached Poland, I was even thinking about scratching. And then I just took a day almost off. Like, I cycled only 80 kilometers that day. And then in the morning, I still hadn't decided whether to scratch or no. But I thought, okay, I'll just get on the bike until you for sure you want to scratch.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I was in Sarajevo and I was enjoying it again. So, yeah, I really enjoyed the Balkans. I really enjoyed Bosnia, Serbia and Albania. It's so pretty, and these are all countries I've never been before. And all people offering food and homemade cookies and beers and everything. Yeah, so it's been quite a trip, but I think I still need some weeks to process everything.
This is going to be my last question. If you had to describe the whole TCR in one word, what would it be?
A beautiful monster. It's three words, but I want to describe it like that.
Another rider to reach Kalamata is the final boss of TCR veterans, Miko Makapa, Cap 44. He's taken part in every edition of the race and rolls over the finish line with a day to spare.
Here I am. 12 out of 12.
One more.
I would be more surprised if I didn't apply.
Are you already thinking about next year?
Well, as usual, there are lots of logistics in order to get there, and then there is what they have in mind for next year, so we'll see.
But somehow you still manage almost every year.
Yeah, like, I've now spent 1% of my life riding the TCR, which equals 12 minutes of every day of my life. So, yeah. I'm not going to, like, it's hard to get a lot of, like, more than that. So.
So it's a real love story with TCR.
You could say so. Yeah. You often get all kinds of feelings throughout 2 weeks, but that's not only during the TCR, but life in general. So, but yeah. It's been very enjoyable riding this year.
Dennis Falkenhauer, Cap 308, completes his TCR too. Dennis is the rider who handmade all his bike bags, with the idea of making sure they fit all essential items perfectly. When Sophie spoke to him early in the race, he found his Snickers satchel was a little too small.
A really important question. Did you find Snickers the right size for your...
But if it not, you know, you see what happened now with chocolate bars, you know. It's not.
So next time you sew your own bag, you have to put like a thermo...
You remember that?
Yes, I do remember,
that I sewed it to the size of the Snickers.
I do remember, yeah.
Yeah, like this bag is the size of the Snickers. You know, I sewed it by myself and this height so I can put Snickers like in this.
But then you couldn't find only the bigger Snickers.
Yeah, okay. And now it's, you know...
Now you're soup.
Chocolate
no
soup.
Chocolate bars anymore.
I'm going to ask you, last question, if you had to describe TCI in one word, what would it be?
Oh, you know, there are so many memories, and at the moment it feels like this, it's all squeezed together to like some kind of a wool ball, you know, and now I need some time to put it, you know, I need some time to think about all that. It
what's going to be...
It's really intense, like all these memories in 2 weeks or no, I don't know how long I've been on the road now. 16 days, 17 days, 18,
Yeah, you lose track of time at some point.
It's really intense, yeah.
Many riders have been relaxing at the finish line for a few days, taking it easy, enjoying the sun. Sophie spots Nicole van Battenberg, whose TCR ice cream count continues to climb.
Nicole, this is ice cream number
99. The final one is going to happen tomorrow at the finisher party.
While the control teams document riders arriving in Kalamata, back home, Lost Dots media manager Taylor Doyle continues to collect and publish their stories to the wider world. Here she is to explain more about what her role involves.
I'm Taylor, and I'm the media manager for Lost Dot. That basically means during races, I am the one receiving all of the content that our hardworking media team are gathering on the ground and using it to tell the story of the race through social media. There are two photographers in each control car, and also at the control points, except for CP1, there are control point photographers. So that's what, CP2, 3, 4, and then 2 in the car, and then 1 at the finish. So at the height of the race, I am managing between 5 to 6 photographer folders that are constantly being filled up throughout the day, and basically trying to string together the story of the race without actually being there, because my job requires a near constant internet connection, and to be constantly writing and posting, I communicate with the team and use a lot of the recordings as well that the race reporters are providing us, that Ian, our podcast editor, uses to make a podcast episode every day, which is amazing. I'm also using those to just gain some context to all of the beautiful images that our photographers churn out day in and day out. I think having a background in ultra cycling myself helps give context to this like amazingly specific sport, and also having done this now for 4 years, also getting to know the riders and the kinds of things that do develop in a race like the TCR, and the kinds of things that our followers and Dot watchers want to hear about and find interesting. I think that it can be easily picked up on those kinds of things that are going to be interesting to the people who are following these dots. And it's also just amazing to know and interact with as well through like comments and things, the amazing Dot watching community that the TCR does have. Like, it really does feel like there is this amazing like communal supportive energy just through like online storytelling.
Mariscal Manis, Cap 255, arrives at the finish after enjoying the simplicity of life on two wheels.
It's been an amazing almost 3 weeks. It's like, you know, you put your life on hold, put every concern on hold. It's just you, the road, you know. Your biggest concern is, what am I gonna eat? Where am I gonna sleep? You know, it's... It's quite amazing. It's very hard. In a normal vacation, you never get that fully removed from everything. You know, if I had slept less, I probably would have been whatever, 5 positions higher. So what, right? What's the difference? You're 160 or 155? I mean, sure, there's a big difference whether you're one or six. I mean, then I can see the five positions, but here... yeah, the GC was important, but again, you know, this time there was no danger. I think this this last leg, the time allowance was very generous because, you know, it's mostly flat, it's good winds, etc. It was the previous checkpoint I thought was the tightest. Because of the, you know, you go through all these mountainous areas in the Balkans and the heat and all that.
It depends where your strength is, because some riders said that on the flat they were like just not copying, but on the mountain they were flying. So it really depends of what.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I am clearly not a smaller guy, and you know, for me, and I've always lived in super flat places. You know, I grew up in Latvia. I went to college in Chicago. All these places, you know, super super flat. And so for me, climbing is not a strength. Descending is even less of a strength because, you know, I have no skill and I'm totally chicken. So I go on the brakes. And, you know, others flying past. Hey, have a good day.
Luca Bessems, Cap 218, is one of our bursary riders at TCO number 12. She successfully made it to Kalamata after just losing out in a fun sprint finish with Anita Lamek, Cap 149.
Oh, this was the best ride ever! Oh, I felt like I came in second on the TCR. Oh, what a race! Oh, so much fun! Congrats!
So thank you! Was it a sprint between you two?
Yes!
A bit?
Oh, what an avontuur!
If you had to describe TCR in one word, what would it be?
I think deep. I think I really found this sounds very spiritual, which I'm not really usually like that, but I've really found a connection between like body, mind and spirit, and I really felt like how these three had to be in balance. And I've never been so deep into myself. I'm very rational usually, so deep. Deep emotions, deep thoughts, deep spirit, deep willpower.
What do you think was your biggest strength for TCR this year?
I think living in the moment and at the same time seeing that this moment will change from hour to hour, so knowing that everything is temporary, I think that gave me a lot of strength.
Did you know that before? Or
yeah, I've been through other things where I've had to learn this. But in TCR, everything is so much faster. Things change more fast, so it's easier to see that it can change from day to day. But it's very useful, I think, in the rest of life as well, to see that situations you're in that maybe last for weeks, that also will change later on.
There is always light after dark.
Yeah, there is.
Like many riders, Manuel Kaufer, Cap 84, completes his TCR journey knowing that the support of family back home makes it all possible.
My head is it's so hot and I'm very excited. And it's so amazing to be here and finish it. And it was a great, great race. A lot of great people, a lot of beautiful places, a lot of very good parkours. It was very, very nice. Yeah, it was my first ultra race and my first TCR.
Well,
and
congratulations!
Yeah, yeah, no.
Did you have doubts about the fact that you could do it? Like
no.
When you started, like
no, because I'm. I think I'm very good in my head, and I have a strange plan. What I will do every day, and how many kilometers, and how many high meters, and I know if I can follow them a few days, then everything will be okay. And
yeah. So planning was your
planning
strength.
Is, that is awesome. Yeah, and of course everything is very good because my wife and my children give me the space and the time to do this. That's amazing.
Mm. Yeah. How old are your children?
I have got 14, 11, 11, and 4. And one of them has a birthday today, and I will call them in a few minutes.
So your wife has been taking care of the child when the children when you...
Yeah, they make holidays the last 3 weeks. And yeah, they give me the time and the space to do this. Yeah, it was very good.
So it's a teamwork.
Yeah, it's a teamwork.
Completing our stories from day 19, Dan Jones, Cap 81, is also now able to relax in Kalamata, having comfortably finished within GC at his first TCR.
To be honest, the Transcontinental has been a lifetime goal of mine, like an ambition of mine, since it first started with Mike Hall, really. And I followed it from the start because I like cycling, I like travelling, adventure, you know, and more than that, I like pushing myself out of my comfort zone. And the Transcontinental does all those things, definitely. So
in the same time.
Yeah, so I've been putting it off. And then I didn't have anything else big this year planned. So I entered not expecting to get a place. And then, you know, in January I got an email saying, congratulations, you've got a place on the TC. I was like, holy shit, I better start riding my bike. So, it's been amazing, actually. I really enjoyed it.
How can you compare the feeling you had when you received that email and the feeling you have now on the finish line within GC?
Yeah, within GC, that was my ambition too. I'm so glad I got into GC. Not that it matters really. Nobody's going to remember if you were in GC, but it's just something for myself really. I want to get in GC. But when I first got that email, I was like really nervous. But now I'm so glad I applied and did everything and trained so hard. And I've been quite disciplined for the last 6 months really to get through it. And I have got through it, and it's been definitely worth it because it's been an amazing experience. You know, it's just traveling in these different countries. You know, the Balkans, Albania, Serbia, just very, very different, amazing.
If you had to give an advice to someone that, like you, like had fear before signing up, do you have an advice to give them?
My advice would be just do it. If you're not like a professional, semi-professional ultra racer, there's never a good time to do it because you have to commit time to route planning, you have to commit time to training, and I just say just do it because you know, everybody's getting older, so just do it and apply, and then if you get a place, all the better, and just go for it, I'd say.
Yeah. And what do you do in your life?
I'm a sheep farmer, and that's my main passion. I'm looking forward to going back to my dogs and my sheep when I get home.
And you had someone on the finish line, huh?
Oh yeah, my wife's here, so I was under pressure really because it's our 22nd wedding anniversary today, so she was here to meet me, so I did feel the pressure, especially when I had a little wobble in the Greek mountains yesterday. And I thought, oh my God, I'm not going to get there, but I did get there in the end.
Sophie also speaks to Dan's wife, Kerry, who's been waiting for him at the finish line.
And it's funny because earlier you came to see Mike, the photographer, and saying, like, can you make sure that you take the picture? Because I'm going to be overwhelmed.
I was overwhelmed.
So I hope we got some good photographs. why were you over? Like, just did so the race represent it for you? Or?
Oh, it's just so proud, isn't it? You watch the dart and you know, I spoke to Dan every day and you don't live the race, but you're kind of a part of it in that you know what you're feeling his emotions. So for him, you know that it's really important. Like for me, I just want him to be safe and enjoy it, and what an incredible experience. But for him, it's all that and more. He wants to cross that finish line, doesn't he? And sometimes things are a bit more challenging. So it's nice to support him along the way. But just if you could get back by Friday, please.
Kerry has done ultras on her. Kerry's done some cycling ultras, haven't you, Kerry, before?
Yeah.
So she knows a little bit what's...
You know what? Oh, it is.
Yeah, I think so, a little bit. Not the Transcontinental. I think that's another step, isn't it? But I appreciate what Dan's gone through and all the riders. Yeah, they're all amazing, incredible.
So when do you sign up as a pair?
Wow. I've been asked that a few times.
I'm not sure, we might not have a 23rd wedding anniversary if we do that.
As the final day of TCR number 12 approaches and riders get ready to celebrate their achievements together at the finishers party, this seems like the ideal time for one last Sophie Explains.
In TCR, every rider carries the same thing, a small brevet card with 10 runes on it. Some of those rules are very clear, like respect the road rules, but others are a bit of a grey zone, like ride self-supported. But what does that actually mean? I think it's time for another, last but not least, Sophie explains. Today, the spirit of the race. Where does this idea of self-supported actually come from? The TCR was created by Mike Hall, and from the very beginning, his idea was surprisingly simple. He wanted a race across Europe, but without the structure, the budgets, or the support system of traditional ultra races. In fact, in the original race manual, it described it as a supported alternative to long-distance cycling races, something just as hard, but far more accessible. Because for him, the goal was very clear, a race decided by the rider, not by how much support they have, not by money, not by a team, not by logistics, just by their ability to manage themselves. That's also why the rules are so minimal. At the first briefing, Mike basically said the TCR is self-supported, ride in the right spirit, and get there safe. And that was it, because the race wasn't built around control, it was built around trust. And that's where the idea of self-supported really becomes important. It doesn't just mean no help, it means something much deeper. You carry what you need or you find it on the way, just like everyone else. No private resupply, no outside out system, no shortcuts. And that's why one of the 10 core rules still says, ride in the spirit of self-reliance and equal opportunity. In other words, everyone starts with the same game, and what happens next is entirely up to you. So is self-supported that simple? Not really. If self-supported is one of the core rules, you might think it's something very clear, either you follow it or you don't. But in reality, it's not that simple. Because self-supported is not just about obvious things like not outside help or not private resupply. Those parts are quite clear. Those are like the black and white rules. But then there is everything in between, the small decisions, the situations that are not written anywhere. The moment where you have to ask yourself, like, is this still fair? And that's where self-supported becomes something else, not just a rule, but judgment, a responsibility. Because in a race like this, across countries, cultures, language, it will be impossible to create rules for every situation. So instead, the race relies on something different, the spirit of the race. The idea that even when no one is watching, you are still expected to make the fair choices. Because that's how you respect the other riders, that's how you keep the playing field level. Because the moment some riders start getting advantage others don't have, the race stops meaning anything. So how do you know if you're still within the spirit of the race? There is no checklist, no referee to ask, no VIR. So most of the time, you figure out through small decisions. For example, you arrive at a traffic light in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, no cars, no one around. You stop, not because you are afraid of getting caught, but because you know the rider in front of you stopped, and the rider behind you will stop too. Another example, a rider was handed a Coca-Cola on the roadside. Now, technically, that's outside assistance. Will that person be there for every single rider? Probably not. But refusing it can feel wrong too. It's part of the welcome, part of the human connection you experience along the way. So the rider took it, but only drank it later when she was in front of a supermarket where she could have bought it herself. That's how you navigate the grey area. And sometimes the rules are clear. You are not allowed to sleep at your own place or at a friend's place because it's not available to every rider. Paweł Puliński, for example, rode through his hometown but didn't share his route with his family, didn't make a plan to meet them. Because the moment you start arranging things that only you can access, you're no longer riding the same race as everyone else. So in the end, knowing if you're within the spirit of the race is less about knowing the rules. It's about constantly asking yourself, am I still riding in the same conditions as the others? Because in the end, there is no referee, no 15 cameras on you, no VAR. Just you, making the call.
Morning dawns on day 20 at TCO number 12. And today we will see the final few riders roll into Kalamata to finish the race within general classification. The finishers' party starts later this evening, but Sophie is already outside Skipper's Bar to welcome riders as they complete their north-to-south adventure. She speaks to Simon Heppel, Cap 351.
It's been good. There've been lots of ups and downs, as I thought, but they were slightly steeper, the ups and downs, than I anticipated. But it was all a learning experience for me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get to the end, and I got to the end. But it's never quite how you plan it. People warn me, you can plan all you like, and then the unexpected will happen, and you won't have planned for it. And I'm like, nah, that's not true. I can plan. I can see what people say about this race and blah, blah, blah. And then, of course,
all those things happen. But you have to work around it and do it when you're tired and fed up and lost. And but you kind of get there eventually. So that was the learning thing for me, of really putting yourself out there, but then working out how to get around it.
For Oliver Neumann, Cap 391, this year's TCR was all about reaching the finish within GC. He tried twice before, but didn't quite make it. This time, he's done it.
We're very happy to see you.
You've made it.
Yeah, made it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I promise
days,
it's real.
A few days ago, I couldn't imagine to reach checkpoint 4. Mm. I pushed, I reached it, now I'm here.
Really, really happy for you.
Thanks.
Yeah. It took you a few attempts, but you finally...
Yeah, finally, I did it.
Yeah.
The third attempt was successfully. And I think it was one of the hardest ones. Many kilometers, many elevation. A lot of dogs, bad traffic.
You should be really proud of yourself.
Happy to be here. I'm just happy to be here.
Why did you keep trying and trying? Like,
it's a long story. 11 years ago, I had a burnout, and this was the time I started to cycle road bike on longer distances. So I had my first ride with 50 kilometer, then 100 kilometer. I tried 150, 200, 300. Anytime was 500. Then I tried the first overnighter, and I increased always the distances, and it was my medicine to get over the burnout. And yeah.
So today it's a bit like the burnout is behind you now.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers to that then.
Funny thing, yesterday I was in a shop in Patras, and the owner was a big fan of the Transcontinental. Oh. He knows everything about. He knows my name. He showed me pictures of the checkpoint, and then he gave me. Where is it? Anywhere there is it?
Uzo.
Oh, nice.
He said it's for the finish line.
Yeah. That's great.
You didn't drink it before.
No, but I have two.
Riders often talk about the focus required for ultra racing, the way the outside world just seems to fade into the background for days on end. In Kalamata, Samuel Hussein, Cap 204.
It was what I expected it to be physically.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of goes without saying, but it was definitely more of a mental load than I anticipated. More intense in that regards, you know, having to just constantly think, where's my next meal, where am I going to sleep, what's my mileage, what about these injuries, when's the checkpoint timings, what's the big picture, what am I doing in the next 5 minutes, you know, I kind of anticipated me being able to call my wife for 5 hours a day on the bike and take some work calls and things like that, but I haven't thought about it. You can't think about anything else for over 2 weeks. So I didn't anticipate it to be so all-encompassing. But it was a good experience. And
yeah.
I don't mean that in a bad way. It was something I didn't expect and something I think I'll learn from.
It's incredible, like, to have the space and the time to actually focus on one thing. Like in life, we tend to be distracted by a lot of things.
Yeah. And I, for example, I worried how it would be. You know, I'd be constantly thinking about work, for example. But you just can't. It's so intense all the time that you are fully engulfed in it. And yeah, it's. I can't remember the last time in life that has ever happened, apart from maybe, I don't know, the week or two after you had a kid or, you know, something like that, where your life is that one thing. you know, this was as intense.
At the finish line, Sophie also catches up with a rider that she spoke to earlier in the race, Fritjof Schirmer, Cap 111.
Last time I saw you at CP1, yes. You got woken up from your nap by a huge bang.
Yes.
From your tire explosion.
Yes.
And now that you've reached the finish line.
Exactly. Now I came here to the finish line, leaned my bike at the wall, gave the guys my breakfast card and everything, went upstairs to get some food, waited for the food, and I heard a bang. And I knew that was my tire again. So I went downstairs and shit, my tire again went off the rim. I have no idea why, because I did that. Between here and Norway, nothing happened at all. It's just was a smooth ride, actually. I was actually surprised that I had no flat tires or everything. So
maybe it's your bike celebrating. You know,
it's celebrating making a party with some some loud bangs. Yeah.
Oh my god! Well, your bike is happy you made it.
Yeah. It's my little diva makes some noise now. But yeah, otherwise
but
I had
you're
no,
gonna take good care of her now.
I think know. I disassemble the whole thing if I'm at home and throw the half of the parts away. Yeah.
Afternoon on the final day of TCR number 12, and riders are gearing up for the finishers' party. For those still arriving, there isn't long to freshen up and find those dancing shoes. Next into Kalamata is Per, Crystal Vieth, and Andreas Stanker, Cap 417 A and B. Sophie and race director David Eyre are on hand to see them roll in.
Hey guys, how are you? Das sind Freunde. Was ist mit euch denn? Geil.
Hey, Melanie.
Would you like to describe what's going on here now, David?
So we have the latest pair to roll in across the finish line, and they have some friends up on the balcony above us who, as they were celebrating their arrival, unfurled a huge homemade banner to congratulate them and caught them by surprise. So, yeah, they've just been having a really nice time enjoying watching that.
Was it important for you to do it as a pair?
Yeah, we make every event we make as a pair. So, I don't want to do it alone. And I also think you don't want to do it alone, because then we have time to talk in, you know, we can talk when we go over the hills, we talk in the main facts. Sometimes when we are working very a lot. And then, but here on such a trip, we find solution together, and yeah, we work together also. But it's different. We have time. Sometimes you don't talk, but you can make a race like this also in a quiet mood, I think. And that is important for us. Not hurry. How can we get the checkpoint? Also quiet mood, you learn if you are have time, you learn about the land and the landscape. You must push, sure, that is a race and that is okay, but you can mix it, I think.
So you spend quality time.
Yeah, we also have together. Good quality time. Yeah. Yesterday we will make a stop in the parkour, in a little beautiful village, in a little beautiful hotel. We had 1 hour for lunch. Yeah, that was perfect. That's enough. Yeah, you know. And I think we come back, and we saw a lot of places. Remember to come back and have maybe a better look. We have Albanian friends in Italy, so we will check Albania. As I think this is very nice there in the mountains. Yeah. So everything is cool.
Perfect.
Yeah, and as a pair, it's no problem. She's a very strong cyclist, so it's good for me. Yeah, that's it. Kikos! Ah, thanks a lot. Official, that was our aim, to come here at this day, perfect for the finisher party. That was, from the beginning, was this our goal, to make it.
While Christel and Andrea get themselves ready, race director David provides an update on the party planning situation.
We're getting set up for the finishers party at Skipper's Cafe here in Kalamata. It's a beautiful evening tonight. The sun is slowly setting. There's a lovely pinkish hue in the sky. Everything will be kicking off around 7 p.m. tonight. So we're putting on a load of food for riders, and there's drinks at the bar. Hope everyone's brought their dancing shoes, because I know that Sophie has got some pretty good tunes lined up on the two Bluetooth speakers that we went out to buy earlier today after sound testing the system at Skipper's and nearly breaking it. So we've made a little additional party investment of our own. Hannah's set up just across the way from me with a big print and some paint, and is printing, I think, nearly 100 t-shirts for riders over the course of the next hour. So she's got a little busy period ahead of herself. So this is really just the chance to say a massive well done to everyone, to celebrate with them and their friends and their family and whoever else is here, to share a few stories from the road and give out a few funny awards for those stories. And then it's time, as I say, to get those dancing shoes on. And until Skipper's closes, we'll be here to welcome riders in. Yeah, should be a fun night ahead, and we'll see how it goes.
It's almost time for the finishers party to begin, but not before another rider rolls into the finish line. Gabby Vink, cap 388.
In the start, I never thought to arrive and not arrive to the finisher party. But well, now I'm proud.
You have an hour and a half to get ready for the finisher party. Yeah.
But without sleep, nearly every night only 3-4 hours, and some nights nothing. But today, 4 times power nap. I didn't do without.
I remember you explaining me your nickname, being the snail, but in...
Me, Luma Kagabi, is my nickname. I am slow and carry all my things, all my house with me. And for this... I am slow too.
But somehow,
22 kilos.
Somehow you still manage on time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Incredible.
Yeah, congratulations.
And really, for 63 years, for me, it's good. And but I am a little bit dirty.
It's a great example that there is no just one type of cyclist. There is many different possible types. Yeah. And it's also a message that you're carrying.
Yeah. So. No, it was a very good experience.
Evening in Kalamata, and finally it's time for the finishers party. It looks like one more rider might be able to reach the finish before the GC cut-off time, but until then, the show must go on. Race director David and race coordinator Hannah Lobelessier are hosting proceedings at Skipper's Bar. It's one last chance to say thank you, recognise our category winners, and to present some special awards.
Thank you to everyone for being here this evening. It's really nice to have so many people celebrating the finish of TCR number 12. Congratulations to all of you who've made it here so far. It's really nice as well to see so many friends and families share in your sense of accomplishment. We're really happy to welcome you all to Skipper's Cafe and the finish line here. We're going to run through a range of rider awards with you all now. So these are stories that we've heard from the road which we think deserve special recognition, as well as a few other thank yous along the way.
A final thank you to our amazing volunteers, who we couldn't do this without. Our amazing team of finish line volunteers, but all of the volunteers throughout the race, all of the control points at the start, and also our huge team of volunteers working from home, watching your dots, monitoring you on your way, and just making sure that everyone is kind of still watched and looked over and safe, and also helping us to make sure that it's a fair race. So thank you so much to them, even though they're not here. The cafe will stay open until about midnight. So you don't need to go home then, go find another bar, but you won't be able to stay here past midnight. And finally, we have a big happy birthday to wish to Robert Muller.
Birthday to you, happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
birthday to you.
And that's it. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Cheers, everyone.
While the riders share stories from the race at the finishers party, all eyes turn to the finish line.
Can you explain what's going on?
Yeah, we're all kind of ushering all of the riders towards the front of the bar, to the balcony, because our last rider in GC is about to arrive, and we're going to award them the Maglia Nera, which is the prize for being the last rider in GC to make it to the finish.
The last but not least.
Last but not least. And of course, there's still plenty of riders out on the road, so there's maybe, I'm not sure how many, maybe like another 30 or 40 riders still riding beyond the time cut, and the last of those riders is called the Lantern Rouge.
And here comes our Maglia Nera, hurtling towards Skipper's Bar, Alexander Latham Bowl, cap 241.
Last rider within GC, he made it just in time with the whole party welcoming him. That's so nice. Did you expect such a welcome?
No, I did. I thought everyone would have gone home. Oh, that's fantastic. What a way to finish.
Yeah. Gosh. So we have a special black jersey for you to be presented here.
with all of the CP icons.
That's so funny because before I started, I had an Instagram account and I called it last.alex. So I thought it was going to be really slow. I thought I'd call myself the last dot and last dot in. There we go. So that's prophetic. Thank you very much. So what a race. Gosh, glad to be here. Yeah.
Well done.
While Alexander is the last rider to finish within GC, he's not the last rider to arrive before the midnight cutoff point. Bursary rider Jack Wright, cap 52, with the tune still pumping at the finishers' party, rolls in to complete their own adventure. They miss the cutoff at control point 4, but continue to Kalamata for an impressive race finish in their first TCR.
How do you feel about dancing right now?
Not good. I'd rather have ice on like all my joints.
How do you feel about jumping in the sea?
Yeah, good. Yeah, yeah. The sea would be
well, that's very achievable.
The beach is like 50 meters that way.
Yeah, to the sea.
I think there is something you need to do first.
True.
Make it official, no?
It's not midnight yet, is it?
No.
So it's kind of completed it.
You've more than kind of completed it.
Yeah.
You're here. To finish is to win, is the saying.
And with that, the finishers' party moves from Skipper's Bar to the nearby beach, and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race comes to a close. There is just time for one last recap from race reporter Sophie.
Time for the recap of the day. Today was the last day at the finish line, where we spent hours welcoming riders arriving just in time for the finisher party. There was a lot of packing going on, bike going into boxes and bags, all getting ready to jump on the coach to the ferry tomorrow morning. It felt a bit like the end of summer camp, everyone making their luggage, even if no one is quite ready to say goodbye to their new best friends. Today, some riders that's going to stay a bit more long went for another ride. Yes, some just can't get enough, apparently. While others finally took the time to enjoy the warm Mediterranean Sea, after all, they'll cycle 5,000 kilometers across the continent to reach it, so they might as well enjoy it. Tonight, the finisher party kicked off, and for the first time in TCR history, there was actually dancing involved. Maybe it's the Mamma Mia effect, or maybe it was just a very determined, slightly aggressive personal campaign insisting that riders should dance. And after 5,000 kilometers, let's be honest, they were far too tired to resist anyway. Gossip Girl moment. XO, XO. Gossip Girl. Gossip Girl is real? spotted Sarah Bosslet, cap 120, first finisher of the Flinta category this year TCR, demonstrating elite-level patience of waiting a full week for the finisher party, only to mysteriously disappear right when the award were handed out, reportedly last seen chasing a pizza. After 5,000 kilometers, even a podium has to compete with carbs. Spotted, Anna Larbalestier taking her race coordinator role very seriously. She spent the afternoon stamping the TCR logo onto riders' clothing. Riders show up with their old jersey or simply took off the t-shirt they were wearing to get it stamped. As she put it herself, turnout printing tees is a very effective way to get people topless. All strictly professional, of course. Before I wrap up today's recap, I would like to salute Douglas Migden, our dear London Rouge, currently cruising somewhere around Budapest on his way to CP3. The term London Rouge comes from the 19th century railways, where the last carriage carried a small red lantern to signal that the train was complete, that nothing had been left behind, and Douglas is very much still attached to this train. The final stamp will stay in Kalamata until the very last rider rolls in. So dot watchers, don't close the doors just yet, the show is not over. Speaking of which, you've been 101,545 active dot watchers this year, generating more than 22 million views on Follow My Challenge. You're not obsessed, just very committed. And to the 397 riders we roll out of Trondheim, I hope you feel like rock stars tonight. Honestly, you've earned it. Tonight was the cut-off time on the finish line, and instead of being like irresponsible adults and going to sleep, we all stayed on the dance floor waiting for the final rider within GC to arrive. And Alexander Latambol, cap 241, crossed the finish line to a standing ovation like a Greek Olympian in a stadium. I guess some people really do like a dramatic entrance. He was just in time for Dancing Queen, obviously. Tonight, 186 riders are officially within GC. That's 47% of this year's field, and 22 riders are still out there chasing their finish. May the wind be at their back. Finally, congratulations to everyone who dared to take the start. What a show you've given us, what a race. Our ride on DC and TCR ends today. Thank you for trusting us with your stories on the side of the road. I hope we did them justice. It was a great teamwork. So stand tall. Be proud, because you're now part of the Lost Dot family, and I will add, whether you finished or not, whether you arrived first or last. Keep the lights on, the Lantern Rouge is still lighting up the night. And for the last time for TCR number 12, good night and good ride everyone. Ian, mic drop.
I'm Ian Broome, and thank you for listening to our podcast coverage of the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race. If you'd like to live it all again, you can go back and read Jake's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website, and enjoy the incredible stories and photography published on all our social media channels. Race director David is going to play you out with a list of riders still out on the road, riding towards a race finish at this year's TCR. In the meantime, thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.
Cap 262, Tilo Kutzer. Cap 309, Artem Soldakin. Cap 22, Thomas Chateau. Cap 121, Michael Grobe. Cap 358, Jean-Paul Sachet. Cap 107, Andreas Herrig. Cap 178, James Slotherio. Cap 69, Ro Allegra. Cap 339, Martin Lau. Cap 226, Christian Feller. Cap 158, Susanna Boguka. Cap 124, Frederic Roudon. Cap 82, Patrick O'Connor. Cap 408, Robert Coy. Cap 177, Lisa Brugelmans. Cap 275, Michael Velker. Cap 245, Connor O'Sullivan. Cap 280, Mex Weishofer. Cap 218, Eric Arendts Hansen. Cap 98, Hank Bierstecker. Cap 406, Ruben Vachev. And Cap 47, our Lantern Rouge on the road, Douglas Migden. Keep those pedals turning, everyone.